William Morrow and Harper Audio present The Rose Code, a novel by Kate Quinn, performed by Saskia Malleveld. Introduction. In the autumn of 1939, Hitler's advance seemed unstoppable. German military communications were relayed using hand ciphers, teleprinter codes, and above all, Enigma machines, portable cipher devices that scrambled orders into nonsense so they could be relayed via Morse code over radio transmitters, then unscrambled in the field. Even if the scrambled orders were intercepted by the Allies, no one could break the encryption. Germany thought Enigma was unbreakable. They were wrong. Prologue. November 8, 1947. London. The Enigma arrived in the afternoon post, sealed, smudged, and devastating. Osler Kendall stood, 26 years old, dark-haired, dimpled and scowling, in the middle of a tiny Knightsbridge flat that looked as if it had been bombed by junkers, wearing nothing but a French lace slip and a foul mood, as she looked at the piles of silk and satin exploding over every surface. 12 days until the wedding of the century, this morning's Tatler had gushed. Osler worked for the Tatler. She'd had to write the whole ghastly column. What are you going to wear? Osler picked up a rose satin gown whirled with crystal beading. What about you? She asked it. Do you say, I look simply smashing and I couldn't care less that he's marrying someone else? Etiquette lessons at finishing school never touched that one. Whatever the dress, everyone in the congregation would know that before the bride came along, Osler and the bridegroom were... A knock sounded. Osler flung on a robe to answer it. Her flat was tiny. All she could afford on her Tatler salary if she wanted to live alone and be close to the center of things. Darling, no maid, no doorman. Her mother had been appalled. Move in with me until you find a husband. You don't need a job. But after sharing bedrooms with billet mates all through the war, Osler would have lived in a boot cupboard as long as she could call it her own.
Posts come, Miss Kendall.
The landlady's spotty daughter greeted her at the door, eyes going at once to the rose gown slung over Osler's arm.
Oh, are you wearing that to the royal wedding? You look scrummy in pink.
It's not enough to look scrummy, Osler thought, taking her bundle of letters. I want to outshine a princess, an actual born-to-the-tiara princess. And the fact is, I can't. Stop that, she told herself as soon as she'd shut the door on the landlady's daughter.
Do not fall in the dismals, Osler Kendall.
All over Britain, women were planning what they'd wear for the most festive occasion since VE Day. Londoners would queue for hours to see the flower-decked wedding carriages roll past. And Osler had an invitation to Westminster Abbey itself. If she wasn't grateful for that, she'd be just like those ghastly Mayfair moaners, blithering on about how tiresome it was attending the social event of the century. What a bother getting the diamonds out of the bank. Oh, woe is me to be so tediously privileged.
It'll be topping,
Osler said through gritted teeth, coming back to her bedroom and chucking the rose dress over a lamp.
Simply topping.
Seeing London swanning about in banners and confetti, wedding fever whisking away November chill and post-war gloom, the fairy tale union of Princess Elizabeth Alexandra Mary and her handsome Lieutenant Philip Mountbatten, formerly Prince Philip of Greece, would mark the dawn of a new age, hopefully one where ration laws were finally swatted down and you could slather all the butter you wanted on your scones. Osler was all in favour of ushering this new era in with a slap-up celebration. After all, she'd achieved her own fairy tale ending by any woman's standards. An honourable term of service during the war, even if she could never ever talk about it. A flat in Knightsbridge.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?